Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Jason McKee in the building. J-Mac, we are past mock draft season. We are now into list season. The lists are never ending, and PFF dropped a very interesting one, which I'm going to have a take on PFF when we get this started. They gave their ceilings and floors ahead of the 2025 season on all of the second-year quarterbacks. Very glowing on some. Very interesting on our own Caleb Williams. So we'll talk about that and more on today's episode. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star view. Y'all know what to do. We do want to let you guys know today's episode of Chicago Bears Podcast brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura. Drive off in under 60 minutes, or they'll make your first car payment. Also, brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas-style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off I-80-94. Next time I go there, by the way, J-Mac, we got to, I've heard, Yurko tells me they make a fire steak dinner up in that mug.
Okay.
It's a great steakhouse.
Got to check it out, man. It's summertime.
How you feeling, my guy?
Good, man. Feeling good. Busy week, youth camp, high school practice, been outside all day, getting barbecued, but hey. I'll take it, though, man. It's summertime. Summertime shy. Nothing like it. No city like it in the summertime. It's also manufacturing news time of the year since everybody's on vacation.
List season, baby.
And all the pro guys, they're on vacation. They're working out. Some guys are on vacation, getting ready for training camp, getting away for the game, getting prepared to come back for a long, you know, training camp, preseason, and then the season. So we got list season, so let's talk about it.
I like this one, though. This is an interesting one. What I don't like about it is, and I want to preface the conversation by saying this.
Yep.
You got to pick a direction. Either you like Caleb Williams or you don't like him. Yeah. You got him ranked as the, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they ranked him as the all-breakout team. So You think he's going to be one of the breakout players that dominates this year. But then you give them this comparison here. Looking at some of the other second-year quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, the ceiling to floor here. Jaden Daniels, ceiling to floor. Lamar Jackson, the ceiling, floor, Kyler Murray. Not bad. He's already a better leader than Kyler Murray. So if he's got Kyler Murray talent, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it's still like, you know what? We have, despite these guys playing their first full season, Pat, you still have a small sample size. Because here's the thing. There can either be a big jump from your first year to your second year, to AKA your sophomore year, or there can be a big drop off. And it just depends upon, like, when you have guys who had success, like Jaden Daniels' his first year, you know, what happens with the work ethic? Is he still hungry, right, to be even better? Is he still hungry to go out there and produce? And, you know, he did a great job last year. Obviously, we saw what the Commanders did, got him in the playoffs, had a great season. He's in a good situation. Cliff Kingsbury and that offense does a lot of things that really help Jaden Daniels flourish as a quarterback because they play to his strengths. And I think it's also depends upon the situation. And, you know, it's a small sample size. So I think, you know, it's going to be good to see these guys get back out there this season.
One I'm really excited to see this season, Drake May in his second year. I mean, listen, they walked in the door and were like, I get the kid everything we can get him. Let's see how much we can
new
get.
New coach.
You know? New coach.
You know I mean, Coach Mike Vrabel, I played against him as a player. You know, he grew up in that you know, not grew up, but he flourished in that locker room, the Patriot way. Yeah. You know, he had a great head coach and Coach Belichick. So, you know, he was a player in the Belichick. He understands the Patriot way. He was a part of the Patriot way. He's had, you know, some success coaching in this league. So it's going to be a whole new, different way of doing things. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Drake May transitions to a new offense. You know, we saw Caleb have to do it in his first year within one season. Now Drake May's going to go from, three offenses in one season. So talk about dysfunction.
That's so nuts, bro.
And then we want to judge Caleb. And everybody wants to judge Caleb like, oh, he sucks. He's going to be a bust. Guys, like, look at the dysfunction. Look at the dysfunction. When has that ever happened? You got coaches getting fired. Him saying he wasn't getting film watched. The head coach saying they had film sessions and it was on the schedule every day. Yeah. Like, what the hell was going on? Like, what was going on?
Can I give you one that actually went through it? And again, the correlation links up. Remember Jared Goff rookie year? Mm-hmm. When, oh my God, why'd the coach's name just leave my brain? Who was before Sean McVay? Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
Basically said, I've evaluated a lot of football in my day. This kid can't play.
Yeah.
Sean McVay walked in. He went to a Super Bowl with him the next year. So,
yeah.
Hey, Jared Goff went through some dysfunction, gets the Ben Johnson, now he's an MVP candidate. Maybe we'll see a similar situation here. That's all I'm saying. Sealing the floor for Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, which is hilarious with the pre-show conversation a little bit.
Like, here's my thing, right? Here's my thing.
Not big believers.
Like, here's my thing. Like, I don't – like, I mean, has Trevor Lawrence arrived? Like, has he arrived in this league? Yes, he's arrived. We know he's the number one pick. He got paid. But realistically, right, this league is about productivity. And what has Trevor Lawrence done? There was no sound. Everything went dead. Like, and
I'm not a Trevor Lawrence guy at all. So.
But it's the truth, though. It's like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's you got to, like, productivity is key. What is your resume? Hold on.
I got you, J-Mac. Ask it again. Ask the question again.
What has Trevor Lawrence done in the NFL? We can pull up his stats. Like, I want to just, you know what I mean? To say that's a ceiling for somebody. I don't understand. Like, if you sit there and say, okay, the ceiling is Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Rodgers may be on his way out. That's a heck of a, I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because what has Aaron Rodgers done? The resume speaks for itself, right? The resume speaks for itself. You know what I'm saying?
I think what they're saying by that, J-Mac, is they don't believe in Drake May. That's what it feels like to me. Or maybe there's this undying belief that Trevor Lawrence is still going to turn into this great quarterback. Last season was injured, so dealt with some injury as well. So last season, a little tough to look at, but 60% completion, 2,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, 7.
Oh, I'm looking at it wrong.
Season before, 65 completion percentage, 4,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. So to me, what that conversation is saying is we don't believe Drake May is going to be very good. He'll be a fine quarterback.
Basically. Yeah, so I'm looking at it wrong. My bad, guys. Don't crush me in the comments. I got a little hit on myself.
You all good.
I was on the Trevor Lawrence. You know, I had to go on Trevor a little. It's hot outside. It's summertime. It's hot outside.
No. I think what it is for you, J-Mac, is it throws you off when you see 50-plus million attached to somebody's name as somebody who played in the NFL and got paid, and they ain't did the work.
Yeah.
They haven't had the production. Yeah,
hey,
I mean
potential is a lot of things, right? Potential gets you fired. In Trevor's case, potential got him paid. Take it. I'm not hating. Take it. I'm proud. Yeah. I want all these guys to get paid. Hey, they gonna pay you? Take it, Trevor.
Hey, I feel like Trevor. They called Trevor agent. Was like, yeah, we got all we can do is $50 million. All right, yeah. Well, let me talk to Trevor about it first. Hold on, sign the paperwork. Get in the office, man.
What is he supposed to do? You know, you gotta take it.
The floor for Drake May. I don't know how wide that gap is. Honestly, pause. The floor for Drake May. They're giving Daniel Jones. Mm. So ceiling Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones. Floor Michael Penix, another interesting one.
Daniel Jones, another guy got paid off potential. Right. Let's pay Daniel Jones and not pay Saquon, and let Saquon go. I mean, come on, man.
Daniel Jones got paid off of going to the playoffs, at least.
How did he get to?
Did too, but.
And how did Daniel Jones get to the playoffs?
I'm gonna turn around. I'm gonna get his football to Saquon Barkley.
Thank you. Let's keep it real.
Michael Penix, ceiling Justin Herbert, floor Jameis Winston, an interesting one there. Mm-hmm. JJ McCarthy, ceiling. Duh, this is nuts, bro. And see, this is where the disrespect gets. Yes, this one going to get you.
They said Drew Brees. I saw this one, right?
No. J.J. McCarthy has not taken a single NFL snap yet, J-Mac. Ceiling, Joe Burrow. So they believe that J.J. McCarthy can be, I mean, in my mind, the best quarterback in football.
Hey, I'm going to be a little biased on this one because J.J. is a IHSA high school product. He played 1 year at IMG. So, you know, I want him to do well, not against the Bears, but we have local guys that are from the area, that are from the state, getting the opportunity to play pro ball. I'm going to root for him. I just don't want him to do good against the Bears.
Listen, that's fine. Joe Burrow, J-Mac?
But I ain't
took a snap yet.
Hey, man, like I said, look.
Snap yet.
Look, potential is a lot of things. Obviously, we see he can get you paid, but it can also get you fired.
Yeah. Hey, the floor they got for him is Sam Darnold, which I feel like you were just copping out on that one. Like, yeah, he could at least be Sam. Yeah. For Bo Nix, they gave ceiling. I mean, it was a good season, bro, but come on. Ceiling, Drew Brees. Yeah, floor, Mac Jones.
Yeah, ceiling because look at his coach. Bo's coach. That
at least there's a correlation. I can deal with that.
That's the coach. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that, and I'm a fan of Bo Nix. You know, I think that.
Bo's a baller.
Yeah. And another thing in Bo's case, right, a guy who played a lot of college football. So he came in, you know, having a lot of snaps, seeing a lot of things at the collegiate level. You know what I mean? Having a lot more experience than some of these guys. You didn't play as much of college football that Bo played. And then you put him with a great offensive mind, an offensive guru like Sean Payton, who had a Drew Brees, who has the ability to develop, right, and unlock talent from a quarterback standpoint. And you see what Bo Nix is, a guy who's athletic, a guy who can throw, a guy who can lead. Who can excel in big moments. And he's under the tutelage of Sean Payton. So, yeah, obviously the comparison to Drew Brees, I mean, that should be expected.
And the floor they got for Mac Jones, which is weird because Mac Jones feels like one of those situations where a coach messed him up. How is he so good at one point, and then Bill Belichick ends up going with the defensive coordinator as the offensive coordinator mantra that next year, and all of a sudden Mac Jones fell off and he hasn't been able to climb back up that mountain. He's somebody I do root for.
Yeah, and it's all about being in the right situation, being in the right fit, having the right coach, head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, to be able to develop you and unlock your talent, but also having the right offensive coordinator that understands the limitations, but also understands like what my quarterback can handle, what does he excel at, and what is he, you know, what does he struggle with, right? And not try to force him into situations or into a scheme to where we know he's gonna struggle or not excel in. And be humble enough to understand that I know if my quarterback is not an elite processor in terms of deciphering defenses, well, then I can't put a lot on him. I can't have him drop back 30 times a game, right? I've got to change my offense. And then I've got to find creative ways to get him comfortable within my offense in the passing game, right? I know I got to have an adequate run game to alleviate the pressure on my quarterback who may struggle in the pass game. So it's not all on my quarterback. So situations and everything, right? We talked about Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's the guy who, oh, he's a bust. He's this, he's that. He goes to Minnesota last year and we saw what he did. You know what I mean? But he was in a good situation. Yes, he had weapons all the way around him, everywhere. I mean, he got a talented roster. But at the same time, they devised a plan week in and week out that really accentuated his talents, which put him in position to make plays.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think that that is not something Bo Nix will have to worry about with Sean Payton.
Sean Payton's a dog.
Like, you just got a dude Sean that Payton's knows the
I
game.
I love Sean Payton.
Man, I bet you do.
I got his play. I got his playbook right here. Still use a lot of his stuff.
Were you in New Orleans?
I was in Dallas. Sean was in Dallas my rookie year.
That's right. Okay, okay. You still using Sean Payton plays?
I got a bunch of stuff. I get a bunch of stuff. I got the Rams. I got some of the Rams stuff too.
Let's get to the one that everybody's been waiting for, the one that people really want to talk about here, Caleb Williams. And I think what's insane about this is you've given all of these different ranges here, but I mean, like, a guy who never took a snap in J.J. McCarthy gets Joe Burrow as a ceiling. Mm-hmm. Number one overall pick, who through all of the dysfunction we talked about last season, still put up a pretty good rookie season. Ceiling Jordan Love, floor J Mac, bust.
So he's gonna be good or he's gonna be trash, basically.
I don't even know if they called him good. Is Jordan Love good?
I'm not saying that, but I disregarded Jordan Love. I wasn't talking about Jordan Love. Like, I'm not even. Yeah, okay, Jordan. Like, I like Jordan Love too, but he's a Packer, so I'm gonna give it down. Like, whatever.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, man.
He's gonna be good, or he's gonna be a bust.
Let me ask you this, J Mac. Like, number one, is this fair to say that this is the range that Caleb Williams can live in with the talent that we saw last season, even going through some of the dysfunction that we saw, and him still coming out of it with one of the better rookie statistically seasons. I know not a lot of winning, but the stats were there, and you saw the flashes of what you were hoping to see from Caleb.
Yeah, I just think it's, you look at, and, you know, reflecting back on the season as much as we have this offseason, right? When you're in it, you know, you're calling games and stuff like that, you know, you're in it, but you're not really, you see the dysfunction, but then you have time to really reflect and analyze the season that they had and say, wow, like, it was disaster, man. Like, yeah. Dude was in, I mean, wow, like, it was crazy. Different coordinator, different coach, like, it was disaster, man. Not even gonna lie. He's getting sacked. I mean, protection is terrible. Like, everything is as bad as it could get. That's where it was. And he still, you look at his stats, like, pretty decent rookie season without stability, you know, in the midst of dysfunction. So I'm excited to see, you know, like we said, potential gets you a lot of things. He has the potential, you know, under an offensive mind that's been proven in this league, you know, having a better coaching staff on paper, having better talent around him, especially up front on paper. They still got to go out there and execute, but I'm excited to see what it's going to look like in him, to see the maturation and the growth that he's had from last year to this year. You know what I mean? There should be a jump from year one to year two, and it could be a jump or there could be some decline. And I think with him having stability, him having coaches that's going to, you know, hold him accountable, hold the team accountable, you know, coach guys hard, put guys in the right situation and make plays and execute. I'm excited to see what it's going to look like for the Chicago Bears this year, but especially Caleb. And just so you guys think I was bullshitting, see what I'm saying? I got all kinds of shit here. I don't make up nothing, okay? Don't think, hey, I'm not, look. I keep all my shit, okay? Look, I got bored. I fell asleep a little bit in meetings, so you start doing
the highlights. Oh, come on, J-Mac. Come on.
So you don't think I'm bullshitting, but no, I think, I'm excited for Caleb. I am.
Let me ask you this. Is the ceiling for Jordan Love kind of where you see him right now? Do you feel like that's too low? Do you feel like maybe that's a little bit high with what we've seen? I know he's a Packer or a member of that team up north, but like, do you feel like maybe that's even too low for what the expectations should be on Caleb Williams this season?
Yeah, I think it is low. I think it is. I think, you know, I mean, Caleb, I mean, when you just look at the tools that he has, you know what I mean? You look at the ability to manipulate the pocket, to extend plays, to be able to throw off platform, to make those wild plays, to be able to play within the structure of a pocket, right, where he's going to have to really dissect and diagnose defenses and play within a pocket. You know, it's that's what you want. That's why he was the number one pick, because he has the ability to do a lot of things. He has the ability, based upon his skill set, to be successful in pretty much a variety of offensive schemes that you install for him. So I think that is too low for him. Like, I think he can be as, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, being in the right situation. I think we've taken a step with us bringing in, you know, the hottest coordinator is now the head coach, who understands offenses, you know, who can help develop and groom Caleb, but also hold him accountable. So I think that's where, you know, us as Bears fans, it's okay, now we feel like we have the perfect marriage. We've got an offensive-minded head coach that's proven, and we've got a young, talented quarterback that has a lot of potential, and it's exciting. But I think with Caleb, when you look at it, Pat, I think it's a matter of, you know, Caleb, like we talked about a while ago, and I keep saying this because I feel like it's true. I think he has to be a quarterback that you win because of, you know, and if you just win with him, I think that bust label could come out. Like, you know what I mean? Because he's not a difference maker from that quarterback position. You know, we got to win because of Caleb, right? There's going to be times where the moment's big, 2-minute drill, we need a touchdown. Can Caleb orchestrate a 2-minute drive and win the game for us, right? Can Caleb have a game where he throws for 400 yards and then goes out there and leads us to a game-winning drive? You know what I mean? Can he be that elite and that good consistently?
But J-Mac, I think that's the thing too, right? Like, I keep saying this, and I know people, the people who don't want Caleb to be good, or the people, the Bears fans who are just holding on to the past or whatever it is, right? That you are still stuck in this, like, I don't think he's the guy, so I'm going to just say he's a bust, which is weird energy anyway.
Yeah.
How do you ignore Matt Eberflus multiple times putting you in bad situations? How do you ignore Caleb Williams driving you down the field, putting you in a spot to win
three games that a blocked field goal, a missed timeout, and a Hail Mary take away from you. How do you ignore the one I think that a lot of people try to add in there is the Minnesota game. Listen, Caleb was bad in that overtime. Like, took a sack he shouldn't have took. Rookie moment, things like that. But he did drive you back in the second half of the game and put, or in that fourth quarter of that game, and put you in a position to get to overtime. Like, you're ignoring all of that in the situation that he was in.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, those are excuses. No, those are things that really happen.
Yeah, it's not excuses. It's
like, yes, you got to overcome it. But, like, at a certain point, it's too much to overcome.
Yeah, and it's facts. Like, he was, the dysfunction is a fact. We saw it. You can't hide it. We saw it. Everybody saw it. You didn't have to be in that locker room. You didn't have to be in that building. You saw the dysfunction. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, you could see it. You could see it in, like, Matt Eberflus doing a press conference and then players going on the radio or doing a podcast an hour later and being like, yeah, I wouldn't have done that. I don't know why we did that.
It was dysfunction. You know what I mean? And I think when you actually listen to Caleb's press conferences, he doesn't make excuses. He puts it on himself. You know what I mean? He puts a lot of the bad on his own shoulders, as he should. If you're going to be that franchise quarterback, we're going to praise you when you play well and you win. But guess what? When you don't win, you don't succeed, the team's failing, you're going to be under a microscope, and you got to accept the criticism, and you got to wear it on your sleeve. That goes with the territory, especially in a big market like Chicago, but it also goes with the territory of being the quarterback, being the number one guy. That's just the way it is in the NFL. That's how it's always been. You know, and there's some guys that can't handle that criticism, can't handle that pressure. They want to deflect and make excuses. And those are the guys that you want to call. Those are the guys that are bust.
That was the who did that last year? Somebody did that last year. I can't remember which quarterback it was, but he was like, I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with when, you know, I'm running for my life every play. And I was like, ooh, throwing the O-line under.
Yeah, no, you ain't doing that. Because you know what?
But like, you saw Caleb. I'll say this, see, to that credit. You saw Caleb do the opposite last year. I remember being in there for the press conference. Yeah. And Caleb was like, hey, listen, it's my fault. It's not them. Meanwhile, we can see Braxton Jones and all these musts falling over. Like, we can see it. But he's like, it's my fault. Man, I can't take that. I need to throw that football.
There are times, and I have the opportunity to be able to interview him right after the game. First interview after the game, before he goes to the podium, meets the media. And, you know, me being in the locker room, sitting next to his locker, you know, he's the last guy. He's just sitting there, still in his game uniform, and just sitting there because, you know, he's frustrated, right? He's frustrated that, you know, they didn't win. You know, he's upset with himself because he's saying, is there more that I can do? Is there more that I could have done? You know what I mean? And he's sitting there because, like, I mean, he doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want to lose. He's sitting there and I can see it. And he's just, you know, he's mad. You know, things weren't going right. And, you know, I know, and you can see the game's like, man, like, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, you didn't have a chance there. You did, you know, this and that, not excuses, but facts. When you really break down the game and, you know, you ask him the question, he's not throwing nobody under the bus. I got to play better. You know, we all have to get better. We've got to execute better. You know, we got to focus in on the details. I got to make that throw. I overlooked it. You know, I mean, he's going to put it on his, he's going to put it on his sleeve. And as a teammate, and if I was his teammate, that's going to make me go out there and really, you know, fight for my quarterback. I'm going to stand behind my quarterback because, you know we got to get better. But at the same time, he's not making excuses. He's not throwing anybody under the bus because he knows, hey, regardless of what the situation is around me, I was brought here, right, to change the tide of an organization. I was brought here to be a difference maker, not to blend in. And I know that. So regardless of how bad, you know, the offensive line played at times, how inadequate the run game was at times, you know, how poor the defense played at times, how bad the coaching decisions there was at times last year, it doesn't matter. I've got to go out there and produce, and I've got to go out there and change the tide of this organization. That's why I was the number one pick, and that's why I was brought here. And he knows that. So that's why I'm so excited to see, you know, how he's going to operate with you know, more stability, second year in the NFL, and having an offensive-minded head coach with and let's keep it real, with better talent around him in terms of being up front, you know, and things like that. So
yeah,
we'll see.
The big boys up front, I think, is the thing that has me the most excited about this Bears team moving forward. Let me ask you this, J-Mac, and hit that like button if you guys haven't done so. Subscribe to the page. Lead a five-star view. Y'all know what to do. And I'm gonna do the ad read in between this, but I want you to think about this, and then I'm going to do the ad read here real quick. We'll take a quick break. If you could pick one thing that Caleb has to show this season that tells you that he's moving towards the ceiling and not towards the floor of what he can be, what would that one thing be? While you think about that, I do want to tell you guys all about Mitch Lyons, man. I'm excited to let you guys know about a new partner of ours, Mitch Lyons Wealth. Mitch Lyons, a former NFL player, played on the field same time as Yurko. I believe they played against each other a couple of times as well. And he is an expert in protecting and optimizing your nest egg and helping your income. Go to MitchLyonsWealth.com. That's Mitch, L-Y-O-N-S, Wealth.com. MitchLyonsWealth.com, your best game plan to protect, grow, and win retirement. He's also got some very nice things on his website as well to help you through that, some videos and different things. So make sure that you tap in with him over there. Big shout out to Mitch Lyons. All right, let's get back into this, though. I like the conversation we're having here. If there's something you could pick, talking about the ceiling and the floor here of Caleb Williams, that you need to see from a quarterback or from the quarterback, I should say, that proves that he's progressing very similar to what we've seen early on. The Ben Johnson experience early on has been like, we got to figure it out.
Yeah.
You figure something out. Now it's starting to get better. Now you're building on it for another day. And that's with no pads on, you know, underwear Olympics, all that stuff. But if you could pick one thing that has to happen, what are you looking for this season to show you that Caleb's moving in the right direction?
It's everything I said. It's not, for me, it's not one thing. It's everything. The improvement of him in just in terms of, you know, just the quarterback play, everything, being able to, you know,
order. The one thing is everything.
It's everything. It really is. I mean, there's not one thing, you know what I mean? There's everything I've said, like he's got to be, you know, I want to see him be consistently good every week. And then I want him to have some games to where he's great, you know, consistently good can be going out there, you know, throwing for 300 yards and a touchdown, but really orchestrating the offense, taking command of the offense, you know, getting everybody involved, you know, not taking stupid sacks, not going out there, putting the ball in harm's way, trying to force something and creating opportunities for the defense, you know, going out there and be able to execute in critical situations, going out there and being able to make a splash play on third and 15 when we know we shouldn't have converted on that third down, but because of your athleticism, because of your ability to be able to make, you know, the wild plays outside the pocket when you're rolling out with the ball because of the arm talent that you have. I want to see that. I want to see Caleb, you know, go out there and like I said before, be able to execute in critical moments and be able to, you know, put this team on his back and go out there and say, you know what, y'all left me too much time. Go out there, execute a two-minute drill and put the game away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I say it's not one thing, it's everything. You know, I want to see the maturation and the growth of you of your quarterback play. You know, has your fundamentals gotten better? You know, let's see how much of the Ben Johnson effect has on Caleb. You know, has development truly taken place? Are we still seeing the same guy that we saw last year that's making wild plays, but still making rookie mistakes? And that's going to happen. Yeah. He's going to make mistakes, but I want to see, you know, more, obviously more good than bad, but I want to see the maturation and development of him taking the next step and us saying that, you know what, this kid is growing into and being groomed into being one of the better quarterbacks in this league because he's consistently good, but then we also see the flashes of being great, especially in big moments.
I'll be honest with you, J-Mac, if I had to see one thing, it for me, I can pick the one thing as something off the field that affects on the field.
Yeah.
You have to be the one upholding the standard.
For sure.
Ben Johnson could say it. Ben Johnson could talk about it. You've said this a million times on this show, J-Mac. Mm-hmm. It was the players in the locker room and you guys' locker room that made sure that everybody was playing to what Lovey's expectation were of you guys.
Yeah.
We didn't see that last year. And there was no standard because the coaches didn't set the standard, right? It was just be all right. Yeah, be the 200 rule. Yeah, two touchdowns, no interceptions. That was the standard. Don't throw picks. He was meeting the standard every week. He met the standard for, what was it, 648 snaps in a row? It's real easy not to throw picks when I'm sailing it into the third row, though. Like, mm-hmm. I think the standard that Ben Johnson is setting, the message hits so much harder. Think about
the Patriot way, right? Many players have come out since then and said, we love Bill. We worked for Bill. We played for Tom.
Facts.
Tom was the one out there upholding the standard. We played for Tom. Bill told us what to do. Tom's the one that had us working hard and going the extra mile and stuff like that because we wanted to make sure that he did finish his career as the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, those are the things that I would need to see from Caleb Williams this season.
Yeah.
Where when you get out of the season, we go, Caleb made sure that everybody in that room, offense and defense, was
yeah, and
going the same direction.
For sure. And it goes back to, like you're talking about, the winning formula. And, you know, this isn't mine. I got it from a great book. Love this book. And it's something that I try to model my program, my high school program after. And I think it's a model that a lot of, you know, all coaches try to model their programs after, right? And it's the culture is the people. So the winning formula is people, culture, preparation, and execution. You know what I mean? It's the people that uphold the standard. The head coach lays the table. He sets the standard, right? He talks about the expectations on a daily basis, but it's the people, which are the players, the coaches, everybody in the building, all the way down to the strength coach, all the way down to the janitor, the equipment staff. You know, those are the people that have to execute and that have to live out the standard on a daily basis, right? The players set the culture. Nobody's above the standard. Nobody's above this culture, right? And when you have somebody like that that comes into the locker room, or you have somebody that thinks they're above that standard or that culture, you got to put them in their place. And yeah. I think that's what our locker room did a good job of. We had a lot of guys who were elite players in the league, but they didn't carry themselves like that. Brian Urlacher was an elite linebacker, obviously one of the best to ever lace him up.
To ever do it,
but
yeah.
You would have never known that by the way he interacted with his teammates and the way he carried himself. You know, not once has Brian Urlacher said, oh, no, I'm not, gave us any type of prima donna things like, you know what I mean, issues like that. He was the standard. He was one of the guys. You know, and I think when you have that type of culture and you have those type of people in your locker room, well, guess what? Now you can, the details can be executed, the preparations are to a high standard, and you go out there and execute and win games.
J-Mac, did you see Alshon Jeffrey's comments last week when he was talking about when he got in the building?
Yeah, we don't play that. Get your sleeves on. Put your sleeves on. It's cold outside, so what?
He said the old Bears garb was like.
Yeah, we ain't playing.
It's cold out there.
I told you.
Put your sleeves on. Let's go.
I told you that, Pat. It's not lip service. It's none of, like, that's the thing, right? People, you know, like, it goes all the way back to the 85 Bears, right?
Yeah.
They won the Super Bowl for a reason, right? Because they were guys wild on the team. Yeah, he had a different personality. But when they set foot on that field, they were kicking ass. You know what I'm saying? There was a standard. There were things in place. You know what I mean? Same thing, you know, with our teams and our locker rooms, like running backs, whoever. You know, you ain't putting sleeves on. You're not wearing sleeves outside. That's the standard. Like, you got sleeves on, you better cut them off because that's the standard. It's not lip service. That's just the way it was. That was the culture. And it was driven by the players, the people in that locker room, the people in that building. Team Ed, you better not even hand out no sleeves, Team Ed. You know better. Team Ed would tell you, hey, man, you guys are crazy, man. You guys are crazy, man. Team Ed, like, you're not handing out sleeves. Sorry. I don't care how cold it is.
Was it on y'all team? Or maybe this was somebody else. Maybe it was the Ravens or something. Where somebody came out there with sleeves on and y'all ripped them off.
I don't recall.
I remember hearing that story, but I don't remember it was you guys.
Yeah,
or not.
I don't know.
Mike walked out there with sleeves, and Buddy walked up to him and ripped the sleeves off his shirt.
I don't know. I don't recall that with our team. I may be wrong because obviously you can't see everything. But we had guys like, you know, rookies coming in and they're putting sleeves on and like, no, you're not wearing that. Trust me, I'm from Florida, man. It's negative 10 degrees. I wanted to wear sleeves, but I knew, like, like, damn, it's cold. Like, this should be illegal.
Can't wear no sleeves. That sleeve is that Vaseline you better put on your arm.
Put on that warm skin, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Hey, all the tricks of the trade, you gotta put the rubber gloves on inside your football gloves, like all kinds of tricks, man. Anything you can do, man.
Hey, so. I love it. I just loved it. I saw that and I was cracking up because I was like, man, I swear, like Lance and J-Mac was saying the exact same thing.
I told you
ain't wearing no sleeves.
None of, hey, None of this is manufactured, guys. I'm gonna give you the real when I can. Always.
I absolutely love it. Well, J-Mac, I think we've had the ceiling and floor conversation. We'll see what the Bears team does end up doing this season. We're almost back into training camp. I'm in twofold with this, J-Mac. I'm so ready for training camp to be back. Like, I'm sitting here watching Madden simulations over on the breeze.
How's that
I'm
going?
We're 3-1, brother. We're 3-1 at the bye. We're doing well.
I like it.
Detroit did get the best of us, though. But Frank Ragnow was still on the team. So I don't know. I don't know if that really counts. We might have to rerun that one back.
Gotta fix it.
But no, man. I mean, like, I'm sitting here watching tape from last season and just like, oh, look at Rome. Look at that. He's gonna have a breakout. Like, I'm fiending for football, but I'm not ready to rush through summer, J-Mac.
Yeah. Go back
Once
to work.
Football get back, we locked in. Summer's locked over for me.
Yeah, locked in, man. It's gonna be a good time, man. A lot of excitement, as we know, during this time of the year for the Bears. It has been every year for a long time. You know, all the excitement, you know, and then you know the balloon keeps getting bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden, pow, that needle comes through because you know.
Not this year, J-Mac. Not this year, baby. I'm dominating this year. I'm 9-8, my boy.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I just want them to, you know. Like, when I like training camp, I do, but I'm not calling it training camp. We're in shorts for like 7 days in a row. Like, I want to, put on the shoulder pads, please. Like, come on, man. How are we getting better? Like, I just want to see how the schedule is going to change.
J-Mac, I'm going to record as much of camp as I can, and I'm going to just AI shoulder pads on everybody so you'll actually watch it a little bit longer.
I'll be there until I'll be at camp until they make me not show up. That's how I'm out of the way for the games when they start playing football.
Yeah, then we get preseason. That'll be fun. Hey, man, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. The show of love, as always. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Jason McKee, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago.
Yeah, right on. Caleb Williams, 4 stacks, 4,000 yards. Pat, what you think?
Sure. I mean, yeah, I don't care. Give me 10 wins. I'll take it. He could do it with 3,800 yards, 3,200 yards. Okay. Win games.
I want it all, though. I want the 10 and the 4 stacks. I want it all, man.
10 and a win.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Bear down, guys.
Bear down. Peace.